Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
All right. Well, again, good morning, everyone. Why don't you guys, again, turn in your Bibles. We're going to go to John 4. Here's a little test for you. How many remember the new phrase that we have for Ascent? What's that? Release hope? Did somebody say that? All right, that's one. Pursue God. What's that? I got it. Shout it out. Okay, that one. Release hope daily. Pursue one yearly. Which goes into what the three words were, the three phrases. So we already got two of them. There's one more. So I'll help you out. Pursue God, equip people, release hope. If you can write that down somewhere, I'm going to ask Josh, too, to make some, like, screensavers or something that we can remember this. It's super important that we remember this because those are like pillars for us. Even at the end of a service, I always ask myself, did we equip people to pursue God and release hope? Did at some point in our service today, did we release hope? At some point in our service, did we equip the people? Are you guys a year from now going to be stronger than you are right now because we've done a good job equipping you? Amen? One of the things I love, and I know it can be awkward for guests, but I love the fact that we release you to pray for people because how else are you going to get equipped if you don't take a chance? Right? Yeah, at some point you got to take a chance, and if you can get comfortable in here, it becomes a little more comfortable out there when you're with family and different things. Today, I really want to focus on releasing hope. I've been captivated the last few weeks by the woman at the well. How many have had a chance to watch the Chosen clip, the woman at the well? Raise your hand. Just, if you have not seen it, we did post it the other day. Just go on there and watch it. It's such a powerful clip. And the more I've been thinking about it, I really feel like there's some truth into it, or there's truth all around it, but there's some truth for right now for the situation that's going on, but there's also truth to release hope. So I want to give the definition of release, because people, hopefully in our church you understand that we're equipping you to release it. When we finally put it up there, I had put it on our Facebook page, we had some good dialogue, and in the end I thought, you know what, I do want to put find hope for people out there when they drive by, because we understand we're here to release hope for them. But for somebody that's driving by, we want them to know, hey, hope's here. His name's Jesus, and we want to release that hope to you, all right? But we want to release hope, and that word release means to free from confinement, bondage, obligation, or pain. To release means to free from confinement, bondage, obligation, or pain, to free from anything that restrains or fastens, and it's to allow to be known. So we are always trying to help you go, man, we want us all to walk in the way of Jesus. But in order to walk in the way of Jesus, you have to understand how Jesus was walking, right? And a lot of times, unfortunately, we get a lot of religion that can get clouded. It clouds us to understand what's really going on. It's like the weeds. And sometimes those weeds are what cause people to literally leave church because they're like, this doesn't line up with the Bible. I see Jesus and you know, you guys are fighting over the color of carpet. How does that work? You know, I'm thankful we don't have a church that does that. But there have been churches that have split over the color of chairs and carpet. Crazy. So we have this beautiful story in John 4. Turn there if you could. And I want to try to highlight some things that I believe. I did a lot of research in this area, and it's amazing. There are some other things happening. But unfortunately, because of cultural things, we've put our cultural bent into a story that we need to actually take out of that story so we can see what Jesus was really doing. All right, you with me? All right, John 4. Let's start right at verse 1. John 4. So before I read, can somebody quote John 10:10 off by heart? How many know what John 10:10 is? Yep. So the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but Jesus came to give life, life abundantly, life to the fullest. Okay. He also quoted, "The Spirit's upon me to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted." You got to remember that as we're reading this story. So this is Jesus' mandate, all right? So this is what he's come to do. He's come to release hope for people. Okay, so we have the story here. This is verse 1. "Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee." You know, there's just that moment where you're like, why is that in there? Like, there's competition. They're talking about how Jesus is baptizing more than John. It's like, comparison has been around forever, right? Okay. But this is the verse here. "But he needed to go through Samaria." It's an interesting line, and some people will say, well, he needed to go through Samaria because he needed to get to where he was going quickly, and that was the route. That's not true. He was on assignment, and he needed to go to Samaria. And we've talked a little bit about Samaria, but Samaria, just to give you an idea if you've not been here, Samaria is, they call them like a half-breed. Because they were Jewish people, I did a little more research on it. They actually were Jewish people that were sent to go reestablish an area, but they intermixed and intermarried, which is something that they weren't supposed to do, but they did. So now you have Jewish people, but their children are sometimes mixed, and they weren't a purebred. And then they began to believe that, no, it's not in Jerusalem where we worship. It's actually this mountain where we worship, where Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac. But at the core, they were still Jewish in belief, but they were shunned by Jewish people. And so when he says, "I need to go through Samaria," or "go to Samaria," how many know right now he's about to break a boundary and a barrier that's actually going to release hope? He even at one point tells his disciples, "Do not minister to these people." But then he goes and ministers to those people. He's already showing signs that this is going to be a message for all people. So that's one thing I want you to realize. He's releasing hope by going to a place that most people don't even want to go. That's why these stories are there. The Good Samaritan. So when he uses a story like that, they're like, "Why are you using a Samaritan? We don't talk to Samaritans." Because he's already prepping the world. He's already prepping the Jewish people that this is going to be a worldwide message. Okay, so verse 3. "So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his sons Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well." It was about the sixth hour, which is 12 o'clock our time, sixth hour, that's what they called it, which is like the hot part of the day. "A woman of Samaria came to draw water." Okay, we're about to have the second cultural boundary break. I'm just going to jump to the conclusion, okay? And then we'll go back. Sometimes I'm so grieved and I'm so blessed that my mom stepped up when it was a male-dominated world. Because Jesus came to set women free. I'll try that again. If you're a woman in here, that would have been a good time to show. Jesus came to set women free. Now, we don't realize it because we're a pretty free society, but if you lived in the day of Jesus's time, you were a product, often bought and sold. You didn't have a voice. There's a lot of cultural things that I want to bring up here, but you got to realize when Jesus goes to a place that he's really not supposed to be, to talk to a woman he's really not supposed to talk to, he's showing, "I want to set people free." Religion, unfortunately, tries to take the message of Jesus, but still come over and cap people. And I want you to know, Jesus set you free. That should be exciting for us. And I'm amazed. It grieves me to still see arguments that happen within the body of Christ to silence women from having any voice at all. It's tragic. Because Jesus, literally, if you read the word of God, he is constantly going to women to set them free. And something's going to happen here that is really grieving to me, and I'll show you. So he goes to the well. He says, then the woman of Samaria said to him, verse 7. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, which, by the way, Jesus was on assignment and expected her to come because he needed to be there. And it says, she came to draw water, and he says, give me a drink. And I love the way the Chosen does it, because it's not like, woman, give me a drink. He's like, give me a drink. And then when she kind of has a line, he's like, oh, I should have said please. Like, he's trying to get a dialogue going. And his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, asked a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans, which we talked about. And Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. I love the translation, Josh read out of, because it said living understanding. This living, this is not just words, this is living. And the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is so deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and livestock? So the first thing I want to bring up is that they have the same, Samaritans and Jewish people have the same father, Abraham. They're a descendant from the same father, okay? And this is Jacob's well, so they're all tied together in their genealogy. Verse 13, and Jesus answered and said to her, oh, by the way, just to back up a little second, here's a little interesting fact. Did you know that this is the longest recorded conversation written in the Gospels? This is the longest recorded conversation that Jesus had, and it's with a woman, and it's written in the Gospels. It's not with a man, it's with a woman. How many know that God wanted to come set women free? Okay. So Jesus said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Then the woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. So I want to make note that in verse 15, he just said, this is living water. She says, sir, give me the water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. I'm about to hopefully change the storyline that maybe you've thought of. Because most people will say, if you look in different commentaries, but as I looked online, there are commentaries about what I'm going to say. This is not some radical new idea. People will say, he's changing the topic here because he has to first show her all her sin. It's actually false. It's not even happening. At no point, so do you remember the woman caught in adultery? The woman caught in adultery, what does he say at the very end? Go and sin no more. So there's a moment of, listen, you were caught, you were sinning, go and sin no more. It's very interesting. Nowhere in here does he actually say, because he's about to talk about the five husbands that she's had. There's nowhere in here where he is going to tell her, you sinner. And I'll explain why. The other thing I want to make note, so that they'll stop and say, listen, he just stopped the conversation about living water, and he's talking about her being a sinner. I'm going to tell you, he's actually carrying on the conversation about living water. Because she just asked for living water, why would he then just change the conversation? He's about to give her living water. And it's about to bubble up in her to the point where she becomes the very first evangelist. Okay, so let's back up here. So he goes to Samaria to talk to Samaritans that he's not supposed to. He goes to a well and talks to a woman that he's not supposed to. Not only does that, he equips her to become the first evangelist because she has living water bubbling up and she literally runs to tell everybody about Jesus. That's pretty powerful. So I'm telling you, this is not a new conversation. He's carrying on the conversation. Jesus said to her, go and call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, "You have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and this one whom you now have is not your husband, and that is what you spoke truly." So the usual commentary is that she is this prostitute-like figure that has had five husbands. She's like filthy, she's just running from man to man. I'm going to tell you, in Jewish culture, that's not what happens. In Jewish culture, a man marries a woman and the man has the authority with the woman. If she commits adultery, what do? They stone you. They actually could stone you even if they had no evidence. It's just one person's word. So to think that this woman is committing adultery over and over again in a culture where they stone you for adultery is impossible. There's something else that's going on. I did not know this, but they said the average, you could, in Jewish law, marry up to three times. So there's already something going, okay, what's going on? Five times. Why is she showing up? If you're saying she's not filthy, why is she embarrassed to show up? Well, she may not be filthy, but she is very broken. Most likely what commentators believe, if you search this out, is that either her husbands have died or her husbands have renounced her, because in Jewish culture, all they had to say is, "I divorce you," and sign a paper and you're on the streets. So you have a woman, and that's what I love about the Chosen video, because he starts, you know, he goes and they talk between the lines, because he starts not just talking about having five husbands. He says, "Your first husband was," and he says the name, "and you loved him, but he treated you poorly. And your second husband," and he says a name, "and he on his wedding day smelled like oranges. And now every time you go by an orange stand, you think of your husband, because that's the first true love you had." And you could feel, like, I listened to that, I'm like, oh my gosh. He's pouring living water into her heart because he's reminding her of some of the things. Like, she's so broken that she lost love in her life. And this is the living water that he starts to pour out. We just have, I believe, the Coles Notes version. I think he was talking to her and bringing life back to her. Because you think to yourself, there's no point, he says, you need to repent. And how can she go from being so broken to all of a sudden having so much life that she wants to go tell the whole world? Because I think he was bringing redemption to her. I believe, based on the research that I did, she wasn't the filthy one, but she was a cast out broken one. And people will say, the one you're with now is not your husband. The reason for that is, as a woman, she got to a point where she probably was either living with her son or some family member that had chosen to take care of her. But in our culture, where we think today's standards, we think this girl must be running around, she must be sleazy. Oh my God, now she's living with somebody that's not even her husband. No, actually, in their culture, she's so broken that somebody had to take her in to take care of her. So why is she going to the well at noon when nobody's around? Because she's so humiliated by her life. She's so embarrassed by, even if everyone she married died, then the rumors are probably like, man, don't marry her because you die if you marry her. Or, you know what, you know, they married her and nobody seems to want this woman. So she's broken. She is embarrassed about her life. She's not a sinner, she's broken. If she was a sinner, he would have said, "Listen, go and sin no more now." He's not calling her out on that. And now think of how amazing. This is, again, the Chosen nailed it, because he says, no, I came here for you. I came here for you. And then, like, this is the living water that he's pouring out, because she's thinking, nobody wants me. So let's read a little further. So he says, "You have well said," and this is the five husbands. And then verse 19, the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." Because they're like, "You're telling me everything about myself. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, And you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. So I'm going to take a little aside and tell you this is what applies to today. So they're like, hey, listen, you guys say we're supposed to worship here. We say that we're supposed to worship on this mountain, but you actually want us to worship on this mountain, but you don't let us to actually come worship on that mountain. Where are we supposed to worship? And this is what I'd like to quickly share about today. Woman, believe me, verse 21, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You will worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. I'm saying all that little side because right now the war that is continually happening in Israel is over a mountain. It's still to this day being wars fought over, this is our mountain to worship on. The temple was there. The Dome of the Rock is there. Like they're fighting over the mountain. And Jesus 2023 years ago went, listen, the hour's coming when you're not going to have to worry about where you worship. It's not going to be about a mountain. It's not going to be about a temple. It's not going to be about anything. It's going to be about wherever you are with your heart, you can worship me. And if that message got into every person, it would be like, oh, we really don't have to fight about this mountain, do we? Not really. We really don't have to destroy this people group. Not really. And I know that's very, very simplified, but I'm amazed when we read this that Jesus was trying to already go, listen, it's not about where you worship, it's about how you worship. Because I'm right here everywhere you go. Isn't that awesome? That we live in a day and age where you could be in your car, and how many have done this? You're flipping through and you come to a Christian station, there's a song on, you're like, oh my gosh, I feel God's in my car. Anybody ever have that happen? And you would have not have had that happen 2,000 years ago. Exactly. You're not sitting in Glenn's seat. You should. Wouldn't have happened on your camel either. Stinker. The point, though, is this. Jesus poured out his Holy Spirit so every person can experience him. We get to live in that day. We're living in that day. And so as much as I would love to one day go to Israel and see where Jesus walked, maybe I will, maybe I won't, I'm so thankful that in worship today, God was with me. God showed up. And I didn't have to go, man, I wish I was at a temple. No, God showed up here. And if I go in my car, turn on my radio, and I can connect, God can show up in my car. Or in my bedroom, in my quiet time on my couch, on a walk in the wilderness, like wherever I am, God shows up. So I'm grieved that the words that Jesus spoke to this day are still being fought over. And it's like, you don't have to. That was the side note. Verse 25, then the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. If you've not watch the video and wait for that moment. Because that revelation comes when he says that and she's like it's like she pauses. And all I can see is that living water being poured in because I think the dots are being connected. Like, whoa. You're speaking to a woman. You're speaking life. You're speaking truth. You're saying you're the Messiah. And you're speaking to me. Everybody says I'm worthless. Everybody says, like, don't be near her because, you know, five husbands, she's no good. And you chose to come to Samaria for me. You talk about living water being poured into somebody and worth all of a sudden being poured in. He didn't stop the conversation. She said, give me living water. He's like, all right, here we go. And he began to prophesy to her. And here's what I realize is every one of us can do that. And I would like you to adopt the line that, no, actually, I'm here today for you. Because here's what I'm convinced. If I'm talking with somebody and a door opens up and I can start to share Jesus with them, I must be here for them. That's because Jesus is opening a door for me to talk with them. Because I know that unless eyes are open, I can't talk. So if I'm talking with someone, I feel I have the right to say those exact words if the door opens and I can go, you know, this is incredible. I am here today for you. I must have been sent here for you today. And then maybe God will just drop some prophetic into your life and you can begin to go, oh my God, I just feel like, and then you can begin to talk with them. And I've had that happen. They're like, how do you know that? I'm like, I don't know how I know that. That's God. I said, not me. And they're dumbfounded. And this beautiful moment happens. I remember, I love how God does that when I'm preaching. We're in Tobermory, and we go to the grotto. And I'm there, and you know, Christy would remember this. Maybe the kids would too, because we're there. And I see this woman, and she's bald. And I'm like, okay, she's... In my mind, like, I just knew she's got to be battling something. And I love to tell you, I could be up here and be courageous and speak, but sometimes when you're in a large area and you're like, do I want to go talk to that person? It can be hard to get up the courage. Anybody else want to agree with me? Yeah. So I'm like, I got to do it. So I go up to her. I said, hey, like, are you okay? Or is, I feel like maybe battling. She's like, oh, yeah, I'm battling cancer. And she began to tell me the story. And I do believe, I can't say for sure, but I'm pretty sure I'm like, well, I must be here for you. Like, God must want you to have prayer because I just noticed that. And she's like, you want to pray for me? I'm like, I'd love to pray for you. I prayed for her. I know she still went through treatment, but she is alive today. And every once in a while, we'll connect on Facebook. She'll have a birthday and I'll say congratulations. And I know in that moment, I'm like, I am here for her. I'm here to have fun in Tobermory, but I'm here in this moment for her. And so you need to know that when you release hope, you can take that line and go, my gosh, I must be here for you today. God wanted me to talk to you. Because when you say those words, it releases hope. And I want to tell you, you can be confident in that. If the door opens, God wanted you there. Right? If the door closes, you're like, well, I tried. But if that door opens wide, enter through it and tell them, God wants you to hear this because obviously he sent me here for you today. I go back to what that must have been like. A broken woman, nobody wanted to be around, or at least if nothing else, she was ashamed to be around people, like I'm nothing. And she meets the Messiah. And in the video, he goes, listen, how does he say it? He says, I haven't told anybody publicly, but I came to do that to you. And she says something like, I believe. And he says, that's good. I was counting on it, you know, type thing. Like, because I would have been really awkward if I revealed myself to the first person and they didn't believe me. You know, it's just a little bit of humor. But in that moment, this is where you see this smile come on her face. And she's like, And she goes to walk away and the things fall and she literally runs without the water. Why? Because she now has living water. And she says, I'm going to go tell everybody about you. And he's like, I was counting on it. But what I love about it, and just to jump to verse 39. It says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed with them 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. I want to say that if she was a prostitute shunned, a lot of commentaries when you dig in say they would not have listened to his word, her word. So it's not that she was so shunned. It was that she was broken from her life, but she was still a person that would be listened to. Listen, if you're having an affair after five affairs, she would no longer be alive. We got to understand that. Now, and I'm grieved because in a world, we want to constantly bring it back to her sin. And I'm like, no, it's her brokenness. But she had living water poured into her. And Jesus did that with woman after woman after woman. And it's amazing. Because Jesus came to release hope. And what did I say at the beginning? Hope means, or release means, to free from confinement, bondage, pain, obligation, to free from anything that restrains and fastens. And you think in a world-dominated, it's a male-dominated culture, he's like, I am counting on you to go tell everybody about me. You're the first evangelist. He hasn't even done that fully with the disciples yet. And he's going, woman, go tell everybody about me. In a country or in an area that we're not even supposed to be in, with a woman that I'm not even supposed to be talking to, but he's like, I'm going to change all that. And we live today in that. So women, why don't you stand? I just realized in some places that could be really awkward, but so Lord, as men, let's just stretch our hands toward them. Lord, I thank you in here we have powerful women that are not constrained, that are free and filled with the Spirit of God. And we just ask, Lord, that you would fill them today. Lord, I thank you that they carry messages for people, they carry hope for people. And Lord, any restraints, even in religion that have been on them, we just break it off in Jesus' name. We break off the spirit that would try to put people back in a place that you release them from. So right now in Jesus' name, as men in agreement, we come and we break off a religious barrier that would keep women from being fully free. And we ask right now that you would pour water into them, spiritual living water, in Jesus' name, amen. And we celebrate you. It's not even Mother's Day, woo! I'm thankful, Mom, that you broke a barrier that was really hard for you. I'm thankful because I don't think my kids have ever grown up thinking that they wanted to be a preacher, they could be a preacher. And that's very rare. And I'm thankful that Krista's a powerful woman. And there's no part that they're like, well, I can do whatever God calls me to do. And I'm telling you, in a lot of cultures still today, it's not like that. I want to encourage you, and if you don't trust me or believe me, I can understand that, but I'd love for you to go and research. You will find some commentaries that what I spoke of came from a lot of those commentaries where they take Jewish custom and place it into that story to say, there's no way she's a prostitute with five husbands. There's no way she would have been stoned. But then when you look at what her life would have been like and how broken she would have been, you can see why she was hiding. God's a God that releases, amen? Releases hope. What a good message that we can have hope today. Why don't we all stand? Can't leave us all out. We're going to pray and close. Release hope daily. Pursue one yearly. How many took cards? We have cards still at the back. If you haven't taken cards to write names for your people you're praying, that means you're probably not brushing your teeth every day. Don't get near us. Yeah. But listen, church, we got to become a church that's active, trying to do, like, what's the point if you're just coming to listen to me to do a religious duty? Like, we want to see people released into hope, amen? So take those cards and begin to pray, because you may find one day the door that was closed opens because of your prayers, and all of a sudden you can say, oh my gosh, I was sent here from God today for this moment. How exciting will that be when you know that moment, right? And I can't wait, because you guys will have living water. You're going to come back and go, oh my God, it happened. And we'll be like, yes. So Lord, I thank you that you want to use us as your evangelists. Lord, you release living water into our life. And now we want to go and spread and splash our water, the living water, onto people. Lord, I pray that you would just break off all fear that we have when we go out, and more confidence would come upon us. Because, Lord, your news truly is good news, and we want to spread that good news. And, Lord, I pray that as we go out today and the coming week, that, Lord, that we would see barriers that we know, okay, that's a barrier that Jesus destroyed, and we can pray into that, and we can speak into that over people. We thank you that you're a good God who loves us dearly. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.